Hello again, everybody. Welcome back to Wells Tech. This is Martin Spriggs, episode 584. Joining me as usual, Sally Draper. Hey, Sally, how are you?
I am pretty good, but I almost fumbled. You didn't even know it because you don't have your camera trained on what I'm doing over here on this end. But you're like, on my count, hit the red button. That's how we start every time we start recording together. So we're synchronized. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what red button? I don't know what you're talking about. I was so not ready for that. I'm usually like sitting on the red button, ready to go. And
red means record.
Last thing from my brain today. Oh, well.
Yeah. And I assume I should have asked you this last week, and I think I know the answer. You're back in the warmer climates these days, right down in Louisiana?
We are, but how quickly we acclimate. The high today is around 50, and we're feeling really cold. It's pretty gray and cold in the Mississippi, by Mississippi
It's gray
standards.
And cold here, too. But a little bit different standard up here. But no snow on the ground, which is awesome. Yeah. I don't mind having brown Christmases or Christmas seasons at all.
Yeah.
Got a new snowblower this year, and I've only really had to use it once all season.
So. That's pretty much why there's no snow on the ground when you buy one of those. Last year, we sold ours before the snow season.
But and a huge snowstorm, as I recall, yeah.
Many of them. Many times we had to shovel, break our backs, but we survived and we're warm this winter.
Nice. And enjoying your new home.
Most definitely. Yeah, we're definitely settling in. We have a 40-foot diesel pusher bus now, and it has a washer and dryer. That's like my favorite feature, so I don't have to go to the laundromat anymore. So really
washer
nice.
And dryer that run on diesel, huh?
They nice. Run on electric, yeah.
Was your previous abode diesel or not?
No, it was gas, and that's a huge difference. We haven't driven this one a whole lot, but we did this past weekend. We went down to New Orleans for a couple of days.
I saw your picture of the Superdome.
Yeah,
pretty
it was
cool.
A lot of fun. Very happening scene on Friday before a Saints playoff game, let me tell you, but a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we drove our bus, and learned a little bit more about it and stuff. And the thing is, with the diesel in the back, that's why they call it a pusher, it's so quiet up front. We were like having to scream at each other over the motor in our other RV. And we actually listened to podcasts driving down the road. And this one, it was very, very nice. So,
did you see any other sights?
Oh, we took a bus tour of New Orleans, actually, and saw a lot of sights and ate beignets at the Café du Monde. And, had a shrimp poor boy in the French Quarter. And, it's all about the food. But we saw all over town. We saw the Garden District. We went down St. Charles Avenue.
That's a neat place. Yeah.
We saw Mardi Gras World, which was really cool. Just a peek inside at all the floats they're building for Mardi Gras and stuff. So it was a lot of fun.
Okay.
A good place to visit. Not a place I'd want to live. It doesn't feel super safe there.
Yeah, I agree with you there for sure.
Fun trip.
All right. Well, we have a podcast to do here. We're on 584, and the two of us decided to maybe theme up these next few months with hopefully something very practical, something pragmatic for everybody that that listens to the show and maybe is involved with organizing data and trying to figure out how best to get everybody on the same page. And one of those tools that businesses use a lot of today, and we certainly use here at the Synod level, is an intranet. An intranet basically is a private internet. So it's a logged-in place. It's a place where you can store your stuff, and there are a lot of reasons why, and we're going to talk about those over the coming months. But the intranet concept is, I think, something worth exploring for a little bit here.
Yeah, I think it would be good for churches and schools to consider getting more organized and storing things in the cloud in a secure location that's privatized in this manner. And I think it could reach beyond that to individual groups even. I'm thinking about the board that I served on for the resale shop that supported Minnesota Valley Lutheran High School, our Wells High School in the New Ulm area. And we had a lot of documents. We did a lot of, you know, tracking of treasurer's reports and making of policies and things like that. And having it stored in a central location, like an intranet, where the right people can get access to what they need, and also where information can be handed down to the next board member and things like that. It was a really wise decision for us, and I could see it applying in a lot of ways in ministry.
Yeah, one reason that it's useful for future generations, so to speak, or the whoever's taking your spot next, whatever board, committee, you know, project you're doing, let's say it's a VBS project or, you know, whatever, is just to be able to find stuff. So you don't have to wonder, you know, where is that information that we worked so hard last year to build and to store and to share and collaborate on. And that's one of the big advantages of going digital, is you've got that in a digital place, which is easier to organize, but also searchable. So you've got the opportunity to find this stuff and then leverage that for the next time you do it, or learn, you know, those learning moments that you kind of faithfully documented after the whole thing was over. Now you've got those, and you don't have to wonder, oh, what did we do with those? Or whoever it was that was involved in the project before, you don't have to wonder what they did with them or where they put them.
I'm just having flashbacks to all these different groups that I've been a part of, and I have a couple of stories to tell that kind of drive home what you just said. One of them is the After Prom Committee at MVL at Minnesota Valley Lutheran. The parents all get together and organize a party for the kids for after the prom dance is over, and they do this each year as a junior class. So when it was my turn, had a child in the junior class, they bring these massive notebooks, Martin. I mean, it's like intimidating and heavy to carry all this paper that's generated through this process. And then it's for all the years they've been doing it, so you can look back and see all this history. So one of the advantages to digitizing, going to the cloud, is it's paperless. Probably something that's high on your list. I know you're not a fan of paper, but I've lived it. And the other example real quick that I've lived has to do with math counts and going to the state math meetings with the junior high level students. And the coaches get together, and they have something they call the football. And whoever is the state coach, the winning team's coach, becomes the state coach that takes the team to nationals. They get the football. And the football is actually just a USB drive that has like all of their study notes from forever. And I was there one year when the football got lost, and they were literally like freaking out over
fumbled.
Right. Somebody moved and it was in the shuffle and yada, yada, yada. Eventually they found it. Woo. The football was saved, but don't rely on the football. Those things can get lost, and having it in the cloud is a great idea.
Right. So that's a number of the reasons why, and we're going to talk more about the whys as we go through the next few months. And we're going to do this once a month for, did we say 4 months, something
maybe
like that, through the spring, 5 months. So we'll talk more about some of the reasons why bother. Maybe we should talk a little bit about the different options we're going to be exploring, because that's kind of where geeks get a little bit more excited, because there's some technology involved here. And one of the tools that we're kind of bullish on at this point, because of the nice improvements that have been made, is the Google Sites product, which is basically a website builder, but it interfaces nicely with the tried and true tools that Google Suites or G Suite has available, including Google Drive, which is probably the centerpiece of all that, but also Calendar and Google Groups and those kinds of things. They all kind of work together, which makes this maybe one of the front runners for building out an intranet. Plus, a lot of our schools already have a G Suite account, so it makes a lot of sense to leverage that.
Yeah, and super easy interface to work with. But one of the key things, and we've mentioned it already several times, is the security around the sites. And using Google mm-hmm. Sites, it's super easy to grant access to the people that you want to be able to view the site as well as to edit. So you can be very granular in who has what privileges. You can't even get down to a page level, I believe, into who has what privileges. So that makes it a very powerful tool. Other people that try to go to your intranet and aren't on that select list, they can't collaborate. They can't even see that it exists. They get no dice. Sorry, you know. So that's really powerful and easy to do in Google Sites.
Yeah, and another tool that we're going to talk a little bit about, which we've talked about probably at length on the show before related to project management, I think could serve double duty, and that's the Trello tool. Trello is great at project management. We use it here, but I think there is maybe even in combination with Google Sites, but I think if you wanted to kind of live in Trello and kind of serve, have that serve as your intranet, I think there are some possibilities there too. And the good news is that both of these can be had for free, and so there's no harm in giving them a try. And I think that's what we'll do as we work through these experiments, is to try and kick the tires and see what works for us as well.
Yep, and again, it has all the security tied up with Trello, where you can grant people access to specific boards and things and give them view-only or edit access as needed. We have examples of both of these, a site built to demonstrate the capabilities of Google Sites, and then a Trello board that we actually built for demonstrating project management capabilities, but it would give you a feel for the look and feel of working in Trello. So watch for those links in our show notes at wellstech.wells.net.
Yep. Just a couple other things to whet your appetite as we go down these paths, a couple other dimensions that we're going to explore. One of those would be kind of the who. We talked a little bit about that, but I think there are some key things that you need to keep in mind if this is going to be successful, because I think, Sally, both you and I have been in kind of failed scenarios or attempts at creating intranets for organizations. And so we've learned, I think, a few things that really need to be in place. One of them is, you know, to get that full adoption, make sure that everybody's on board, and you really only get that if there's good training and documentation, the ability to kind of help people along that maybe might struggle with this, or maybe even are wondering why this is worth it. So I think there's an educational component. And then finally, another real important thing, anytime you're putting stuff online, regardless of whether it's password protected or not, are just the policies, procedures, and just the overall privacy of the environment, as you mentioned. You know, it's important to understand that, and somebody needs to be in charge of that. And you know, you don't really want to take that lightly. It's something that you want to think through, that you want to document and enforce. So you need to have that discipline.
Yeah, and privacy policies, things like that, I'd certainly look to you for expertise on that. You've been working a lot with those kind of things for the Senate. But I think the normal person out there sees those kind of things and wants to glance over them and just quickly...
Or views them as a nuisance, right?
Yeah, exactly. And so I think... you have to take that responsibility if you're going to go the intranet route. Like you said, someone needs to be diligent about making sure people understand what the policies are and enforcing them.
So much more on that later, but that's a little bit of an introduction. And in the show notes, we'll put that infographic that gets, and again, it gets us started and gets us on the same page. So look forward to that. Let's go into our news and tech segment. What's happening in the world of technology?
Well, it's a new year, and the new year always starts out with a very big electronics show in Las Vegas called the Consumer Electronics Show. So that is just wrapping up, and our friends at CNET have reviewed the products that were demonstrated there, and we have an article to link to our 10 favorite products from the CES, the Consumer Electronics Show. And they organized and presented the products that they recommended or that they thought were the most impressive by different categories. So they have like the best TV, the best car tech, the best PC, the best gaming gear, etc. And Martin, I don't know if you had a chance to look through this list at all, but I was kind of surprised. I wasn't really wowed or super excited about the things I saw on the list. I think maybe I'm reaching a little bit of saturation point with all this electronics that's out there.
Right. I think the big things at CES these days are TV technology. So there's obviously improvements there. So they're getting bigger, better sound, better picture, foldable televisions or bendable, you know, those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. But also the whole smart home segment is probably, to me at least, more of the interesting stuff where you're getting things to have better security over your home or in your home, and all the voice assisted kinds of things that you can put in your home that that make your life easier potentially. So I think those are the big things that we're getting out of it.
Yeah, one of the big ones that they listed, best beauty tech, and it was actually something that scans your skin and uses inkjets to apply your base foundation makeup, tweaking it to the pigmentation in a particular area of your face. So if it senses a dark spot, it's going to squirt more makeup there. I could not believe it when I read about that. It's like, really? We need this, huh? So I guess maybe that's in our future. We'll see.
I don't know. We'll see. Maybe there's some way you can rig up your 3D printer to help you with that, too.
Squirt some plastic on my face. That's a great idea. Hot plastic.
Who knows? All right. So that's what's happening at CES. Let's move on to Wells Now. And we just wanted to remind everybody that we do have a site, and a lot of people have asked about this in the past, and we've probably been reticent to remind everybody enough or often enough that this exists. But that's a technical skills site. We call it our skills directory, our Wells Tech skills directory. And basically it is a board where you can both find individuals who have specific tech skills. And actually it's not just tech skills, but primarily it is. Or you can put your own name and information on this board where other people can find you. So there are categories across the board, network administration, project management, social media management, programming, mobile development, graphic design, database management, all those kinds of things. And we do have some folks in here. And really what we're hoping to do is just make connections. So if people are looking for gifted people, either who want to donate their skills or who charge them or charge for them or want to get connected with organizations that want their skills. So it's not specifically a job board per se, but it could be used that way. So it's just kind of a general meeting place to connect people looking for tech skills or looking to use their tech skills. So that website is skills.wellstech.net. It does require an account, of course, if you want to add your name, but it's free to get there, and you can do a search and see all the listings and all the people that are listed there.
Yeah, I'm impressed by the different skill sets. People can tag their posts by different things, like I'm good at Mac OS, or I'm good at JavaScript or whatever it is, and the list is really long here, so you definitely can find some skilled folks out there.
Good. Mm-hmm. I think it's time for our picks or tips of the week. Sally, what have you got on deck today?
Well, you mentioned earlier that we created an infographic to kick off our Build an Intranet series that we started today. And I used the website Canva to create that infographic and actually learned a little bit more about it. I've used it in the past, but today, for the first time, I actually collaborated with it. I sent you a link, and you were able to edit as well, Martin. And I didn't even realize that Canva could do that, so that was pretty cool. Canva is basically a desktop publisher, except it's on the web. It's not on your desktop. It's a design tool, and they make it super easy, and they have a lot of very professional looking layouts and font choices and imagery and things like that, much of which is available for free. So they do have pro level pricing plans for the site. You can use it for a team. You can build your brand out there so that as you're working with things, you can easily bring up like your brand colors and your logos and integrate them into your design. But you can keep it pretty simple and just create Facebook headers or Facebook post graphics or Twitter or Pinterest or whatever. They have a section of infographics. They have sections of posters. So if you're trying to design something to promote an event and hang up some posters around town or whatever it may be, I think Canva has you covered. They have lots of options, lots of sizes predefined for you, so you don't have to go to all those social media sites and figure out what the correct dimensions are for the imagery that works well on their sites. Super easy to use, free to create an account. You can either do it with your own email address, or you can do it using your Facebook or Google account and log in that way. So really no excuse for jumping on the Canva bandwagon. I'm real impressed with it, and I think it's a nice tool to have in your arsenal. I like variety when it comes to design, because we have to design a lot these days. And so having, you know, several sites to go to, even this one being one, gives you options and different looks and feels for the media that you're creating. They do have mobile apps, both iOS and Android. I believe it said new on Android, so something they've added recently, and really nice interface on those, both on the phone as well as the tablet interface, kind of two different screen sizes, and it works very well on both. So check out canva.com to learn more.
So I'm getting the impression, and I've only used Canva a little bit, but I'm getting the impression that Canva's maybe sweet spot is like single page design. So a flyer, a poster, maybe even a business card, something like that. Mm-hmm. Do you think it has capabilities for like a full-blown newsletter or a brochure, something like that?
You can do multi-pages. You can also do presentations on, in it and design well. So, I mean, I think they're versatile. Yeah. And you can export in different formats. And like I said, it seems like I was going to mention one more thing, but definitely collaboration is a strong suit. Mm-hmm. So lots of versatility there.
Interesting. Because online desktop publishing is something that has been, I think, slower for adoption. You've had word processing and spreadsheets and PowerPoints and those kinds of things, but true, you know, down to the, you know, the kerning and, you know, the typography piece of it had, I think, has been a challenge for getting that online on the web. And this sounds like it's getting pretty close. So
yes, nice. And I know one more little mention is that they have print capabilities now. So you mentioned business cards. That's what reminded me.
Right.
That,
right.
You can design your business card and then have them print them and mail them to you. So you get a nice professional print quality and medium that they print.
Maybe I'll recommend that. I always, one lesson that I teach in my web design course for Erie Lutheran High School's online in the fall. So I have one segment dedicated to building their a kind of a fictitious business logo. Mm-hmm. And I've used a couple of other tools. I may have them look at Canva. That sounds like maybe a good tool or product to use, especially with some of the starter things they have. They could take one of those and build from there. You don't have to start from scratch. Mm-hmm. So good. Well, my pick of the week or tip of the week is actually a tip. And over the summer, I did some remodeling, and one of the things that that meant was purchasing a new TV for our family room, which we kind of tore our fireplace up a little bit. It had a hearth, and so we took that out, and it's a gas fireplace, so we put some stack stone there, and we thought, well, let's see if a TV would fit, you know, above that, above the mantle. And so we needed a TV that would fit up there, so we got one. And what that did was kind of a trickle down. So the TV we had in that room, in the family room, went down in the basement. And then the one we had in the basement went into the exercise room. Challenge with all of those is, since we bought them at all different times, they all use different technologies. They're all semi-smart TV, some smarter than others, but you know, one of them is Roku TV. One of them, we have an Apple TV hooked up to them. One of them is an Android TV. So we've got all these different systems, and they come with different remotes of different capabilities, and can get kind of frustrating and even overwhelming. But one thing that I learned over the course of trying to work with all of these is that almost all of these come with smartphone apps. Which are kind of nice because they actually offer some additional, in some cases, some additional functionality. So if you've got an Android TV, there's an Android app that can make that happen. There's a Roku app. One of the best features I found of these smartphone apps is they have little, you can use the keyboard. Because all of us have dreaded the times when we've had to enter our username and password with the little arrow keys and the enter buttons on these dumb remotes that take forever. And if you get one character wrong, I mean, it takes 10 minutes to try and enter your username and password. But if you can use the keyboard built into your smartphone's app, that goes a lot faster. Sometimes it's even predictive text, and it's a much more pleasant experience. So that's one of the big reasons I like using these smartphone apps, but they also do offer some other features. One of them, I think the Roku one, offers remote listening. So you can plug in, or let's say in my iPhone's case, I have AirPods, and I can put those in my ears and connect them to my phone, and then I can have the TV play to my phone, which would connect up to my my headphones. I think others do something similar. Some of them let you select channels or apps directly rather than kind of fishing around through the interface on the TV itself. Another nice feature is these apps don't require line of sight. Sometimes these remotes, you have to have line of sight, and you don't always have that depending on how your room is configured or how you want the equipment, you know, put together. And so these smartphone apps work over your local Wi-Fi network, so they don't require line of sight. And maybe one of the final nice features of this is more than one person can have the app installed. So your spouse, kids, whatever, can have an app installed and still have that same access, especially if you, for some reason, lose your remote. So you've got a backup plan there. So that's my little tip of the week. Maybe your smart TV has these apps. Most of them do. Give it a try. See what kind of features and functionality they provide, and you know, might improve your experience.
Really timely tip for me, Martin. We actually kind of dissected our RV last night to get to the back of our TV. So it's mounted up in the front, and you literally, Kevin broke a screw even. Our screw was stripped and broke. It's real difficult to get it out of there and to get to the back of the TV. So we finally managed to get it down, and we just played with a Chromecast with it. So we were using a Google Home app on our phone to set that up, and we tried casting from our computers and all of that. So just because we don't have dish or cable coming in automatically. Some campgrounds have cable, but we just wanted to see what we could do in terms of casting, and made some progress there. So it's a learning curve.
A lot of apps do that, right?
Yeah. I think you have to, you know, be patient with it and figure out all those capabilities, because it just keeps giving once you get in there and start figuring things out. There's lots that you can do with those smart TVs.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yep. All right, so that concludes our Picks of the Week segment. What's next? Ministry resources.
Right, and we wanted to shed the spotlight today on the Ministry of Christian Giving and their area on the Wells Resource Center. So maybe people don't realize this, but we have wells.net, which has a ton of great content, and then kind of behind that a layer is something we call the Wells Resource Center, where all the different areas of ministry publish the content that they're creating, and much of it to support congregations and schools out there. So I just kind of look at the resource center as just a treasure chest, because you can just come and get all kinds of great stuff to use. And that is certainly true with the Ministry of Christian Giving site, where they have links to their bi-monthly newsletter. It's called An Encouraging Word. And they also have links to stewardship programs. There's a current program that they're focusing on called Joyful Generosity, but previous programs and additional stewardship resources are out there as well. So if you are looking for those types of resources, I think this link that we have in the show notes to the Ministry of Christian Giving Resource Center should be something you bookmark and come back to quite often.
Yeah, they do a nice job. Talks a little bit on their site about what a congregational mission offering is, which is very important to the Synod, of course. And if you're trying to encourage that within your congregation, you can get more information about that there. A whole directory of Christian giving counselors, if you'd like to learn a little bit more about giving options, and all kinds of resources about all the different giving instruments, donor advised funds, and all those kinds of things are there as well. So they kind of take the mystery out of all that, and they have a nice team there that is very meticulous about getting this information out there and available to you all. So take advantage of that. That's if you want to go directly there, mcg.wellsrc.net. The RC stands for Resource Center. And while you're there, check out all the other areas of ministry who have similar offerings as well. Mm-hmm. Let's move to community feedback.
Yeah, I had a couple of different messages we received that we wanted to make mention of. First up, from Pastor Peter Hagen, he sent a link to MindNode, which is apparently Mac and iOS centric only at this point. So it's not for PC mm-hmm. or Android users, but it's a mind mapping tool, and it looks to be really well designed. I'm looking at some of the screenshots and things. Haven't had a chance to install it on my phone yet, but I definitely want to try it out. Martin, you and I are fans of mind mapping. It's a great way to get thoughts down, to do brainstorming, to get organized when you're trying to work on a project or outline a paper or a sermon you might be working on. Mind mapping allows you to easily and quickly move things around and connect things and work on the flow of your thoughts very easily. And so this looks like a great entrant to that genre of software. And if you are Mac-centric, perhaps you want to try it out. It's called MindNode.
Very, very visually appealing. They did a nice job with that. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then we heard from someone you know, Martin. I think this ties back to perhaps your pick of the week last week.
I think we were talking about things, kind of themes of our Christmas experiences, and ours was kind of at the Echo Dot, Christmas of Echo Dot. And I mentioned us getting another Echo Dot and then a gift to our grandkids, the Echo Dot Kids Edition. And my daughter Alicia messaged us back. She says, "We've been loving the Echo Dot Kids Edition. For the boys' room, we're enjoying using the bedtime stories, which I think are pretty well done. We created an Amazon Music playlist with their favorites that they can ask for. And I love that you can set it up so if there are times of day when Alexa won't respond, say perhaps in the middle of the night when they should be sleeping. The other feature I really enjoy is that they can use it to turn on some of the lights in the house where the switches are too high for them to reach, since we added some Hue bulbs to the house. As a parent with occasionally tired ears, one of my favorite things to do is set a timer on Alexa for when snack time will be, so that instead of asking me 18 times in 15 minutes when they can have a snack, I can tell them to ask Alexa. We are a family totally ingrained in the Alexa ecosystem and probably will be for a long time. Thanks, Grammy and Papa, for the Echo Dot Kids edition this Christmas. So,
sounds like you,
an eight.
You picked a winner there. That sounds great.
Right.
Love it.
So, good stuff. Thanks, Alicia. Mm-hmm.
And then,
and you had something from Pastor Workentine on the lectionary, the Google Calendar lectionary.
That's right. We actually had a voicemail from Pastor Workentine, who serves at Our Savior in Roanoke, Virginia. Went out and took a kind of a side note, took a look at their website and found that they podcast his sermons. So you can catch him on Podbeam. We'll include a link in the show notes. Anyway, he reached out because there was a minor mistake in this past Sunday's Bible readings that were in the lectionary calendar on Google Calendar. And I went in and corrected that mistake. Unfortunately, it was probably too late for this past Sunday, but hopefully others realized that as they were doing their preparations. And he was very kind in his message and thanked us for the work that we do on that. And just made me realize that we should really do a shout out to our worship team, headed by Pastor Brian Gerlach and many who work with him on different worship resources that are published actually on the Wells Resource Center in the worship area. And specifically, Pastor John Schrader works on an iCal version of the lectionary for us to upload and share. And that's the true work behind the scenes that is done by Pastor Schrader. So we really appreciate that and the privilege to share it. If you aren't making use of this, what we're describing is a Google Calendar, and that for each Sunday and other special festival days of the church year, list all the readings, the color of the season, the prayer of the day, the verse of the day, the hymn of the day. So you can actually have that embedded in your own Google Calendar. You can add a read view of that calendar to your own Google Calendar. And this is not just for the pastors who are listening, but anyone involved in worship preparations. Maybe there's the altar guild that changes out the colors of the paraments the altar, and the choir directors and other musicians involved in the service who might want to know what the readings are that are upcoming for their planning purposes. So definitely worth sharing. We have a whole wiki page dedicated to explaining all the ways that you can use it and how to embed it in your own church calendar if you want to make use of it on your church or school website. We will include the link to the calendar, and then I actually realized that I had kind of an outstanding question about the calendar that someone at the church we're attending currently asked, and that's my friend Chi. He was looking to include the Google Calendar on his iPhone, and he was having trouble getting it to come up on the iPhone, even though he was connected to his Google Calendar. And I remembered and just failed to look it up until now, that there's a special Google page where you go to indicate which calendars you want to sync to your iPhone. So we will include that link in the show notes as well. If you're an iPhone user and you want to be able to, you subscribe to the calendar, you want to be able to see that on your iPhone, you have to go here and indicate that and save your sync preferences. So we'll include that link in the show notes as well. So get up to date. Make use of that Google lectionary calendar from our friends in the worship office. And thanks, Pastor Workentine, for letting us know about the problem that existed there.
Very nice. If you want to contribute to the show or ask a question like Pastor Workentine did, or alert us to something, it's easy to do. Use our email, wellstech@wells.net. You can leave a voicemail like he did just by going to the show notes page, wellstech.wells.net. Connect with us on all the social networks. We're on Twitter, Facebook, Digo, Pinterest, all those places you can find us and connect with us. So we'd love, 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 love to hear from you. So please take advantage of that. Sally, I believe it's time for the video of the week.
And our video this week, Martin, ties back to our discussion topic. We were talking about intranets, and one of the tools that we recommend for developing an intranet is Google Sites. So if you are brand new to Google Sites, maybe it's time to learn a little bit about what they can do for you. Martin actually found this great video, Google Sites for Beginners, and it was done real recently, is very up-to-date on the capabilities, and it's short. It's only about 8 minutes long. Might be a good video to watch and include in the training for those that will be working on the site on the intranet. So check it out and bookmark it if you want to come back to it and use it as you're developing your training for your intranet.
Good. Next week, we are going to be joined, hopefully, by Professor James Karlofsky from Martin Luther College. He is going to be one of our EdTech Lead, our Education Technology and Leadership Summit speakers this coming summer here in June. We're going to stick with the Google theme. His talk is entitled, Do More with Google. So we may be talking more Google Sites and some other things that he's going to bring to the table. So tune in next week for that conversation. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. We really do appreciate your time and the effort that you make to listen to us. And come back again next week and have a great week. Bye-bye.